Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, thank you so much for tuning in. Very important topic today that my guest has been all over for many, many decades when it was on, when it was not on a lot of people's radar. And I want to bring in Patrick Wood with Technocracy News and Trends. The website is technocracy.news. Go there. It's been censored to some degree by, you know, the big tech media conglomerate, the one party big tech media conglomerate, you know, Democrats, Facebook, YouTube, progressives, Marxists. Patrick, good to see you, brother. Thanks for your time.
Great to be with you again. Thank you.
So want to mention your books as well. The most recent one is The Genesis of Modern Globalization. Is that right?
Well, it is, but I have my more recent work is the Evil Twins of Technocracy and Transhumanism.
Okay, we have that
having,
one ready to
having
go.
Said that, the last book that you showed there, that was a chronicle of our newsletters that we wrote back in 1978 and 1979. That was with the late Anthony Seton C. Sutton.
Wow.
So that's just a look backwards.
So, okay, that's fascinating. You were already on this in the late 70s. I want to pause right there because, and the title, The Evil Twins of Technocracy and Transhumanism, you were keeping an eye on this and researching this when almost nobody was looking into this or concerned or even aware that this was coming. What do you attribute that to? What was your interest? What led you into, you know, this path? It's really fascinating to me.
It was because of my work on the Trilateral Commission in the 70s that I was sensitized to this issue, because the Trilateral Commission said all along they wanted to create a new international economic order. We didn't know what that meant at the time. I do now. Because there's never been another economic system in the world created from scratch except for technocracy. So when the Trilateral Commission talked about that, and we knew something screwy, but we just couldn't figure out what it was. But now when I discovered historic technocracy, it came out of Columbia University, of all the places, in 1932. And it was a resource-based economic system. It was really off the wall in many aspects. But when I got wind of it, circa 2005, I knew immediately what was going on. I could just see it, and I began to study it at that point. That became the dominating force of my life at this point. I had basically drop everything else I was doing, all my financial work and newsletter work and stuff like that for geopolitics. And I had to cover this story. It's been the most important, I think, the most important story to America, especially right now. Mm. And technocracy has descended on our country like a plague.
Mm. 2005, 20 years ago.
Yes.
You dove in even further into this. Well, brother, that's where a lot of people, I think a lot of Christians, as informed as we tend to believe we are about most things, this is one area that I think just grabbed a lot of people and kind of shook us up. And so we're kind of looking at like a deer in the headlights here, just not only at what's happening, but how fast it's happening.
Yes.
And here's where you come in. Please explain in bullet point form, like you're so good at, how this is affecting us or going to affect our lives in the coming years. What do you see happening?
Well, this building, if we liken it to a building being constructed, like a high-rise building, the building is planned for many years in advance. And all the architecture, the finance, the investors, all that kind of stuff, that it has to be all in place before you lay dig the first shovel of dirt, right? But when it finally gets to that point where it can be erected, all of a sudden, boom! It just comes to life, right? this is what's happened with this, especially all the stuff that's happened in the first 6 months, even in the Trump administration. This is the evidence that this has been in the planning stage for all these years. And at this point, they've pulled the cork, and they're building the building right before our eyes. You're going to see a transformation of the financial system right now. You're going to see a transformation of the legal system. You're going to see the transformation of business with AI and robots coming in. This is going to be the year of the robot, by the way. This has been declared by all these big, giant tech companies. Next year, in 2026, you will be seeing robots walking around in society, even in your home, perhaps, maybe in a business or a restaurant or whatever. You're going to see robots that can engage with you in conversation, intelligent conversation, they say.
Wow.
I wouldn't bet on it, but, you know, it's coming. You know it's coming at this point.
So I think with an imagination, we can think about, okay, maybe a robot can work behind a cash register or maybe serve you coffee. How realistic is that it's going to grow that quickly? I mean, I know there's billions of dollars being put into this or already has.
Yes.
But where else in public... I hear a lot of jobs. People could lose jobs because of this. Yeah. This is huge.
It is, and you have to remember, technocracy is anti-human. It has always been that way, but especially we see now the anti-human aspect. They want to remove humanity from the equation economically and politically as well. This is not good for humans, obviously. But we've never seen anything like this in the history of the world, I don't think. This is far worse than communism or socialism or Marxism, for sure, because if the humans can be replaced, do the machines just take over the world, or do the humans just maybe they're put on the sideline or something to warm the bench? I don't know, but this is totally anti-human.
So you made a leap there from maybe robots replacing humans in jobs.
Yes.
And maybe in the service industry, maybe in financial or whatever, to taking over the world. That's a whole different thing. And that has a lot to do with, I would imagine, the programmers, those who are developing, training, programming AI. So it's humans behind the robots, right? Am I missing something here?
No,
is that too simple?
You're right, but once these programs are initiated or let loose, if you will, they don't have to depend on the programmers at that point. They only depend on the infrastructure that runs the programs at that point. So let me give an example. There's a new class of apps that have been released just recently called companion apps. This is targeting mostly the younger generation, but if you have a companion app, it learns you, for one thing, and it studies your preferences and converses with you, tells you you're great, and you know what would you like to do today, and I can make your schedule for you and all kind of stuff, right? What can I do? My girlfriend's mad at me. How can I make it up, sort of thing. This is crazy stuff, but I just did a study. Didn't take me long, but I found all the apps that were the top ones, like eight of them, and I added up all the users and downloads that there have been in the last few weeks. You won't believe this. Over 200 million applications have been downloaded, and they're in use right now on the young people's phones. Now, let me just say again, this whole thing is anti-human. You know, when you let a machine get into a human's head, it's going to destroy it in the end. Because hey, these kids should be talking to their parents.
Yes,
they should be talking to their friends, their real human friends.
Yeah,
this is, you know, this. But on the other hand, you know, they say, well, young people say, well, nobody's there to talk to me, you know, and when I want to talk, nobody listens. And, you know, we hear all this nonsense, but the programmers themselves who build these apps, they know exactly what they're doing.
Hmm.
So you can't, nobody can take a fall and say, well, I didn't, you know, just I did this program and boom, there it was up. There it was. This is they're culpable for what they're doing totally.
So you mentioned downloading, and I'm not surprised because we have been so maybe the younger generations have been so trained on brought up on machines on tech.
Yes,
whether that's social media, their iPhones, everything else, that's taken. Well, adults, too, away from relationships with other human beings. So that's one thing, Patrick. What about affordability when it comes to actual robots? I can see them at businesses, but I'm having a hard time imagining people being able to afford a robot in their home. Talk to us about that.
Well, leading up to that, for sure, and probably affordable robots won't be here maybe until the middle of 2026 or so. They'll
That's
be cheaper than a car. They'll be cheaper than a car at that point. But a lot of people say, hey, I'd like to have a robot to do all my chores and mow my lawn, that sort of stuff. I'm sure it'll be accepted. But until that time, there's software robots acting right now that are just as powerful. They don't have hands or, you know, feet, but they're not mobile, in other words. But they're capable agents who can perform tasks for you. And you can pass, like say you're a banker and you're sitting with a client. A client wants to have a loan, okay, or do something with you. You have to do some research on that and get some forms ready for him and get his credits, credit report straightened out, that sort of thing. You can pass that task over to an AI agent and let it do it for you without lifting a finger. You can continue to talk to the client across your desk, and by the time that the computer is done with it, probably be 5 or 10 minutes max, the whole thing is bundled up, printed, and handed to you as if you did it yourself, and it took you 4 hours to get it in the first place. This is an AI agent now. This is a new technology, but it's logical in one way. You can say, well, if you can ask AI a question, you can extend that to do other things other than just answer that one question. But this is going to sweep the whole country and industry at this point. The so-called agentic AI. So, you know, you're going to see a lot of this, but this is the forerunner to the robots, if you will, who are more mobile than. But everybody is, you know, you look on YouTube, you see all these videos about robots, look them up, look at Amazon, what they're doing with them, and other like Optimus, I think that's XAI's program, that's Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. And they're really amazing, I'm sure. But you're going to see when those appear, it's going to be basically game on for technocracy all over the place.
Wow, fascinating. Sci-fi is coming to life
quicker
than we know it. Stuff we just watched on TV or Hollywood made up their imaginations 50 years ago or whatever. We're going to have to take a brief pause here. When we come back, we're going to dive into AI.gov, and there's an article at technocracy.news called The Digital Leviathan Goes Live. And we'll talk about Patrick's concerns about President Trump and the technocrats he is surrounded by. That's coming up.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily, world news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
So we're with Patrick Wood, technocracy.news, technocracy news and trends. This guy was on it before a lot of people even realized it was a concern or it would be. actually happening. And here it is, the year 2025. It's all around us. So back to something you already touched on earlier, Patrick, you were talking about the financial system. And in this quote here on the AI.gov, the digital Leviathan goes live. It encourages people to read it, study it, internalize it. And you mentioned it culminates the first 6 months of the Trump presidency to install full-blown technocracy in America. And it says, quote, all the groundwork is finished, as you mentioned earlier. AI is unregulated. Data centers are being erected and electrified. States are hamstrung. AI is being installed in every agency. Plus, the architecture for the new financial system is in place. What else can you get into in the short time we have out of all that?
give me an aspirin, will you? I'll tell you what. It seems every day there's a new 150-page report being issued by some agency in the government, and I can't keep up with it at this point. It's incredible. But yes, AI.gov, that's an official website. It was supposed to be released on July 4th. It didn't make it, but I think there was a reason for it. But nevertheless, it was about three weeks later. You can go to it's AI.gov. I encourage everybody to go there and just feast your eyeballs. If you don't believe me at this point, just look at the thing for yourself. But this is the framework and the action plan for AI going forward to turn our country and the world into a scientific dictatorship. It's all about control. And in the end, it's always been about control, even going back to 1932, okay? But now we see the control mechanisms for basically all of humanity are in place. One of the important things of that study, the AI Action Plan for America, that's on the homepage of AI.gov. You look at that document, and you'll see pillar number three. They call them pillars, but nevertheless, pillar number three, that's the last one. It talks about externalizing the AI plus monetary system outside of America. In other words, President Trump wants to take all the technology that we have. They're referring like full stack technology. That means the hardware layer, the operating system layer for all the AI, and then all the application layer on top of that, blah, blah, blah. He wants to export all of the system to the world. Think about it just for a minute. All of this stuff was contained in the borders of America right now. But if this is imposed on the whole world, don't you have a global system at that point that will seemingly mimic the Antichrist system? Because it's going to be all global at some point, right?
Wow.
This is really stunning stuff. So it's about control. It's about collecting all the information that they can get their hands on everybody everywhere, and is feeding them all into AI. This process has already taken effect in our government, where AI now is all over our government like a plague. And every agency is using it. The data flows have been hooked up to overarching super software like Palantir to do intelligence analysis. And well, where it's going to go, who knows at this point. But at this point, AI is doubling in power every 4.5 months. This is stunning. This is the state of the art right now. Just look what everything is doing. Consider by the time Trump is out of office, from this day forward, AI will probably increase to about 10,000 times beyond where it is right now.
Wow.
What does this mean for humanity at that point? You have to ask that question.
My goodness.
You can see This, I think this is a sign of the times, the sign, sign of the end times, for sure. Nobody really saw this that way, but I that's the way I look at it, because there's going to be a point where it's so over the top that you can see that the Antichrist will be ready to grab that whole thing. And if the, when the Lord comes for the church, that'll be his day in the sun to take control of the system and use it on all the world.
Wow. Wow. People, students of Bible prophecy just perked up when you explained that, Patrick. So
I hope.
So I'm at AI.gov and I'm looking at the executive orders. I've read mixed reviews on these. One of them in particular, preventing woke AI in the federal government. I've got an article from Christopher Rufo, who said Trump strikes a blow against woke AI. Now, this is one of the, it looks like maybe a dozen executive orders right there. You're seeing that on the page there. And he's saying they are preventing things like Marxism, like these woke concepts from being spread, being involved with AI. But as we mentioned earlier, a lot of AI has already been programmed, trained, prepared, rolled out. So I want to go back to something you wrote, or somebody wrote, it doesn't say who, on the article, Trump the Technocrat releases America's AI action plan. And it says, admittedly, Trump doesn't have any real understanding of AI, but he has totally caved into the technocrats he appointed in the first place. So now technocracy is being forced down our throats. So two questions. One, whoever the president would be or would have been if it wasn't Trump, they would have had to deal with this on some level. They would have had to do something in many different ways here to deal with AI. Number two, I'm looking at that he didn't really have an understanding of it, but is he aware of what you're explaining and your concerns, do you think?
I'm sure he's aware. I can't imagine that he's not, because he's complicit. Look, if any other president had come in, even if it was Harris, for instance, she would have been the gatekeeper to not allow these technocrats to come into government in the first place. And by the time Trump was inaugurated, you saw all these technocrats standing behind him in a photo op. People like Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, the founders of Google, all these tech bros, if you will, they all flocked to Trump all of a sudden. All of a sudden, these were flaming leftists 2 years ago. And well, all of a sudden,
yeah, they still
we
are.
We love you, President Trump, you know?
Right.
So he was a gatekeeper who let them all in the first place, okay? And they've served his purposes. Now, Trump is not, he's not a techie, for sure. I've heard reports he doesn't use a smartphone like we do. He doesn't use a computer like we do. But nevertheless, here's a guy who understands business, he understands finance, and he understands building empire. That's a phrase I want people to take away right now. President Trump is an empire builder. He's always been that way. This is not new. You shouldn't be surprised if I say that. He's built his own empire, right, on real estate and making big, beautiful buildings and stuff like that. Well, okay, this is what he does. He understands building empire. Now he wants to not only build empire within our country, but also take that to the whole world. And we're going to see this, I think, going forward. If he can launch, and by the way, when I say AI is bonded to the financial system, the crypto system that's being erected right now, they have to go hand in hand, because they can't exist outside of each other. You'll see going forward that our financial system that's been being erected now is going to be exported with AI systems to the rest of the world. That's the end of the BRICS nations, for instance. They won't have a leg to stand on at that point. And if other countries do what we're doing and they adopt our standards, et cetera, you have basically a unipolar world at that point with the United States sitting at the top of it. Now, this is the kind of a system that President Trump would like to preside over. This is his life, you know? So I think he really gets the picture, and this is just a vehicle for him to achieve his goals of building empire.
Interesting. There is a lot of focus on America first, but this does expand well beyond when you talk about tech and AI. Really quick, Patrick, you mentioned something, I think before we got on the podcast, you mentioned all these big, you know, tech guys, you know, with Trump now, but their ideology hasn't changed. They're not tolerant of the Christian worldview. They have suppressed you and they have censored you for what, decades? Been part of that shadow banned on Facebook. Our posts are limited. I know people have been pulled off of YouTube. So talk to us a little bit about that. We don't just have like a minute and a half left, but you, you've been a victim of that. I think a lot of us have. That's not changing just because maybe they're cozying up to Trump.
You're right. And there's a lot of talk about free speech in the Trump administration right now. The Secretary of State talks to foreign nations. Don't you mess with free speech. That's a tell to me that something's going to be, the hammer's going to come down on free speech. But at this point, not like we had censorship before, I think now AI can take over the job, not to necessarily censor what you want to speak, what you'd like to say, but rather change your mind to where you won't say those things in the first place.
Oh, my goodness.
In other words, you get my drift here. If they can change your mind before you open your mouth, it's game over for free speech.
Wow. And that's what they're involved with, everything, education and media. And oh, my goodness. I was going to say what a mess, but it's being carried out. It's being developed. It's all around us. It's good to be informed. We have ran out of time, Patrick, but my goodness, it's always so fascinating with you. We will, Lord willing, do this again. We really appreciate your work and your time, brother. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you, too. Wow, guys and gals, I know that gave you a lot to think about. But again, don't be overwhelmed by all this. Understand God is sovereign and in control. The Bible is still true, and we can trust it and stand on His word and His promises. God bless you, and as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.